so many shout outs to give. Hallelujah. So thankful for this church being our mother church. We're really a daughter work. Amen. And Dad founded the church in 1980s. So we're coming up on 40 years. Amen. Of service. Just a second. And so we're so thankful for you and your giving. What an awesome testimony and what a great word from the Lord. So good to hear from my brother Mike. So appreciative of his ministry, his boldness, amen, his prayer life, and how he helps us all to grow in the Lord. Amen. What outstanding teaching. But I wonder if you're ready to just to jump into the word of the Lord today. Amen. Thank you for your support. Thank you for being here. God bless you. Amen. But let's get into the word of the Lord. We'll look at 1 Samuel chapter 19, verses 18 through 25, and then jumping over to 1 Chronicles chapter 25, verses 1 through 3. And so 1 Samuel 19:18, and I want to give honor to my wife as you're turning there. So thankful for her. I'm not able to minister without her and her support, her blessing. Amen. And so nice after a service to be just uplifted with how much she appreciates the preaching and appreciates my ministry. And so I thank her and give honor to her. Praise the Lord. But 1 Samuel chapter 19, verse 18 reads, "So David fled and escaped and came to Samuel to Ramah and told him all that Saul had done to him. And he and Samuel went and dwelt in Naioth. And it was told Saul, 'Behold, David is at Naioth in Ramah.' And Saul sent messengers to take David. And when they saw the company of the prophets prophesying, and Samuel standing as appointed over them, the Spirit of God was upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. And when it was told Saul, he sent other messengers, and they prophesied likewise. And Saul sent messengers again the third time, and they prophesied also. Then went he also to Ramah, and came to a great well that is in Sechu. And he asked and said, 'Where are Samuel and David?' And one said, 'Behold, they be at Naioth and Ramah.' And he went thither to Naioth and Ramah, and the Spirit of God was upon him also. And he went on and prophesied until he came to Naioth and Ramah, and he stripped off his clothes also and prophesied before Samuel in like manner, and lay down naked all that day and all that night. Wherefore they say, is Saul also among the prophets?'" Praise God. And now let's jump to 1 Chronicles chapter 25. And verses 1 through 3, and thank you for standing. And the word says, "Moreover, David and the captains of the host," everybody say separated, "separated to the service of the sons of Asaph and Heman and of Jeduthun, who should prophesy with harps, with psalteries, and with cymbals. And the number of the workmen according to the service was," and verse 2 just lets us know that number, "which prophesied according to the order of the king." And then at verse 3, "of Jeduthun, the sons of Jeduthun, Gedaliah and Zerai and Yeshaiah, Hashabiah and Mattathiah," amen, there were six, "under the hands of their father Jeduthun, who prophesied with a harp to give thanks and to praise the Lord." Hallelujah. And I know you are standing. It reminds me, there's a song young people used to sing, or sang it first at HYC. The lyrics weren't up, so I couldn't make out what was being said. But the lines went, "This is," and it sounded like they said, "pathetic. I can feel it in the air. This is pathetic. I can feel it in the air." Any of you been in those services before? Praise God. Amen. But I want to preach to you, let the church raise a prophetic praise. Let the church raise a prophetic praise. What that song was saying, this is prophetic. I can feel it in the air. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so it is today. Amen. This is prophetic. I can feel it in the air. And I wonder, would the church, hallelujah, raise a prophetic praise? Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. And let's go ahead and praise together. pray a blessing over this message. But I wonder how many of you are ready to just lift up a praise with me right now. Lord God, I come with expectation, believing your power and your might, your voice would be spoken in here today. Move upon every individual, God. And let us raise up a praise unto you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And God, I pray, Lord, you bless this enabled speaker, the speaker that has no ability on his own, completely inadequate. But, oh, God, that you would work through me, that there would be a mighty move of your presence, that people would receive you, God, in Jesus' holy name. And somebody said amen. Amen. Praise God. God bless you. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. At this time, it was commanded by Saul. Saul had such a beautiful beginning, one of my favorite callings, the call of Saul, so beautiful. One that had a lot of titling upon himself and stature. His stature was spoken of not just he was tall, but it was spoken of in an ego-feeding manner that he is head and shoulders above them all. Amen. That's something that could feed into your psyche and build yourself up. But yet, instead of somebody coming to his father and saying, I'm ready to be used now, and expecting a managerial position, expecting to be a foreman, expecting to preach behind the pulpit immediately, amen, expecting to preach a revival, his dad says, I've got a couple donkeys. Go ahead and find those for me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. And so his humility in taking on that task was perfect for the anointing of God. But you know the scripture that there was a dramatic fall of Saul because of the concern of people's perception was stronger than a passion for God. You see it so strongly in his daughter as she's with the king for a number of years, but then cannot understand as finally the ark is coming into the house that David has prepared for. She can't understand the jubilance. She can't understand the humility. She can't understand shredding the robes and dancing before the Lord with all your might. And how pathetic you look, she would say. And David would say, it's before God, amen, and who has chosen me instead of thy father, who was too concerned with the things of this world. And that fall of Saul moved to vitriol, moved to dramatic bitterness, to the point where he is ordered in 1 Samuel 19:1, Jonathan, his own son, and all attendants to kill David. I want to kill David. David hears about this, and it's where we pick up within our text. And I appreciate how David has shepherded flocks over miles of terrain. And being a shepherd, you're covering miles. You're not just staying in one locale, but you've got to protect, you've got to provide. And if we graze in one area for a little while, we're going to need to move on to greener pastures, new pastures. And as long as it takes, I'm going to protect you and walk that way. But I'm feeling like in his process of shepherding, he knows the areas. And therefore, he can strategize possible hiding spots in this time of trouble. I've seen a cave in the hills over here. I know of an alcove that I can go into over here. I know of this location and that location. Yet, in 1 Samuel 19 and verse 18, Scripture says David fled and escaped. Everybody say escaped. And came to Samuel to Ramah and told him that Saul had done to him, what Saul had done to him. And he and Samuel went and dwelt in Naioth, that is a city of priests. Praise God. Amen. David escaped to the source of all the victory that he had been given in his life. He said, I'm not going to rely on my own abilities. I'm not going to rely on the strength that allowed me to slay 200 Philistines. I'm not going to rely on the ability that led to the slaying of a giant. But when I'm seeking escape, I'm heading to the man of God, and I'm heading to the house of God. Hallelujah. He escaped to the anointing. He escaped to the man of God. And I'm so thankful for a man of God that can remind me, no matter what I'm going through, of the promise that I live in. He can remind me of the investment God has in me. He escaped to the house of the Lord. In the metaphor of Psalm 23, when David is liking his relationship to God as sheep and a caring and loving shepherd, he speaks about the beauty of nature and the good things that nature can provide for us. And unfortunately, some people only try to find God in the natural. I'm close to God when I'm on my mountain hike. I'm close to God when I have a scenic view of the countryside. I'm close to God when I'm up a mountain and see that beauty that is there. And David would say, amen, there are green pastures. There are still waters, and thank God for them. But he says, listen, what that leads me to is this vow, is this covenant that I make. At the end of the day, I promise you this, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. I'm thankful for nature. I'm thankful for the good things. I'm thankful for the victories, and they all lead me to the house of God. Amen. I've made this vow. I've made this covenant. Praise God. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. Gotta go to my man of God. My man of God speaks to me with anointing. He speaks to me within the prophetic. Hallelujah. Praise God. And no more in my father's ministry has he been operating in the prophetic than in the last few years. Amen. And I'm so appreciative. My ministry is based upon, hallelujah, my pastoral in Ketchikan is based upon getting another word from my pastor. You can find your strength wherever you want to. Amen. I'm going to seek after my pastor. You can find it in your talent and ability if you want to. Hail, hallelujah. But I'm going to go back and say, Pastor, what's your word for my scenario? Praise God.
Out so much faster. Somebody clap your hands on the ground.
I feel like we need to stay right there for a second. Amen. Someone needs to be dedicated to this church. Hallelujah. Somebody needs to be willing to put your life, amen, in the hands of a man of God. Somebody needs to be willing to dedicate themselves. Somebody needs to trust in the man that God has put into your life. Hallelujah, in this place. Amen. And I know there's so many faithful here, but I think it'd be all right if you would make that declaration unto God. You'd make that vow unto God again. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm here to serve this man of God. I believe in this man of God. I believe in what he's speaking into my life. And I'm going to return to this place. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And Saul would send men to take David. We look at verse 20. The men, Brother Jaime, are not described as his guard. The men coming to take David are not described as his soldiers. They're not described as his assassins. But this is just days after camp who the enemy wants to send to take you. Right. Scripture says in verse 20, Saul sent messengers to take David. What is their message? Their message is one of death. Their message is one that your anointing and the promise that you will hold the kingdom are promises broken by God. That's the message that's coming to them. Your message is that you are just unfulfilled potential. The message is to take you. Amen. And the enemy wants you to receive a message. You've been spoken to by God. Amen. You've been spoken to by the Word of God. Amen. No doubt somebody's spoken into your ear. You've been blessed. You've been ministered to. And there's another message coming to you when you wake up in the morning. There's another message being spoken to you. Amen. And it's telling you you're too weak. You're not able. God's Word isn't true. God doesn't really heal. And the question is, whose report will you believe? The messengers are coming to shrink your faith. Messages are coming to destroy what God has spoken into your life. Two of the greatest combat quotes, and there are many of them born of combat. Amen. There is a young man that boxed a fellow by the name of Joe Lewis, and made it a few minutes and was finished. And they gave him the mic, and this is his message. His folks at home in Louisiana can't see him. They couldn't watch on television. And so he's a message to his family that, hey, I'm all right, I'm doing good. And at the end of it, he said, you know, it just came down to I zigged when I should have zagged. Amen. That's what it was. And in another bout, some significant quotes are born of significant weight disparity separating the combatants. Joe Lewis, that great champion, also fought a man by the name of Billy Kong, who's a Pittsburgh kid, and his hands were as quick, almost as quick as his mouth. Amen. And he did a number on Joe for many rounds and was looking to take the title when Joe's body work and power finally caught up with him in the later rounds, and he stopped him. And Joe Lewis was quoted as saying, he can run, but he can't hide. One of the great quotes. Another one with another weight disparity was a young man by the name of Bob Fitzsimmons, who was coming up from 175 pounds to challenge for the heavyweight title. And many, a huge underdog, many thought there's no way that he and his solar plexus punch that he had could take care of Jim Corbett, the much heavier man than him. But finally, after boxing, and they would go for round after round after round, I'm not sure which round, but Bob's solar plexus shot finally got a hold of him. And they'd ask him, how did you do it? How did you believe in such an impossible scenario? And he said, listen, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. And I wonder if you would decide what quote of these disparities should be applied to David's situation. I want you to think about that. He can run, but he can't hide. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. And so he comes to Samuel, and David had to be asking Samuel. And I pause for a second to note, amen, there's Joe Lewis. There was also a Jersey Joe Wellcott. And praise God, we got a Jersey Joe today. Amen. God bless you. So glad that you're with us today. Amen. Can somebody give him a hand. Praise God. Amen. Believing God has a plan. Hallelujah for that life. God's going to move again today. Praise the Lord. So David had to be asking Samuel. Somebody say amen. Amen. We know Saul is coming. What are we supposed to do? We have to go on the run, and we're talking about serious business. Samuel himself, if you visit 1 Samuel 16 and 2, when he was going to anoint David, Samuel had feared Saul would kill him when anointing David. He told God, I can't go. Saul finds out he will kill me. Who's speaking? Samuel is talking. And so David has to be asking, do you have a special hiding place? A special armament. What is our next move? In Samuel's plan, he says, let's gather the company. And David has to be thinking, great, you have some secret army that I don't know about. And Samuel would say, no, it's not that company. But verse 20 says, when the messengers arrive, it says they, in verse 20, saw the company of the prophets prophesying, and Samuel standing as appointed over them. The Spirit of God was upon the messengers of Saul, and they also prophesied. We read some scriptures about, and I'm so thankful for the things of prophecy, the foretelling of prophecy. But it's not always so complicated. It's not always so complex. We read about it in 1 Chronicles 25, where it says David separated to the service sons of Asaph, who should prophesy with instruments. What was their purpose? Was it to give a revelation every single service of what God is going to do? I thank God for that, but that's not what the Bible says. In verse 3, it said they were separated to give thanks and to praise the Lord. I am separated to his service. That word separated is the same word in Genesis 1:4, where God divided the light from darkness. It's the same word used in Leviticus 20 and 26 that's rendered severed, where God says, I have severed you from other people for the purpose that ye should be mine. Hallelujah. Why do I come to service to give thanks, hallelujah, and to praise God? It's because I've been separated unto God. He has severed me from the things of this world. He has severed me from the attitudes of this world. I don't care what I'm facing, Brother Greg, when I come to church. Amen. I don't care what kind of failures there has been in my day. I don't care what kind of bills I leave unpaid on my table. Hallelujah. I've been separated to give thanks. Hallelujah. And to praise the Almighty God. For these prophets, there are some things they have to be separated or severed from. One of them is complacency. It's just another Thursday night service. It's just another, amen, Sunday service. Camp meeting is over. Camp meeting is gone. It's time to get complacent again. No, I'm separated from that. Hallelujah. They're sitting next to their peers that would say, you don't need to get so excited. You don't need to clang the cymbals tonight. You don't need to think you're so high and mighty. No, I'm separated from my peer pressure. Hallelujah. I'm going to make some noise. I'm going to give thanks. I'm going to praise God. Harabosoto. There are fashions of the world that are coming against these prophets. Hallelujah. There's the things of this world that are coming against them and telling them you're nothing, telling them you need to shrink your spirit, telling them it's never going to happen in your life. But Brother Thomas, they come to church and they say, I'm going to clang a cymbal. I'm going to play a lyre. Hallelujah. Because I've been separated to give thanks and to praise God. And you look at that separation. God used that word, I've separated light from darkness. And Peter says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. How do we know? Amen. How is there a separation in them? It's because they're showing forth the praises of him who has called them out of darkness into his marvelous light. I wonder if anybody's separated here today, amen, that will say, I show forth the praises of him who's called me out of darkness. I'm separated. There's a difference between darkness and light. How do I know that? Because I'm called to raise a prophetic praise. Hallelujah. I'm called to raise a prophetic praise. How do I know that in the place? How do I know I've reached the light? Because it's the people that aren't afraid to dance. It's the people that aren't afraid to rejoice. It's the people who are not afraid to show forth the praises of him who hath called out of darkness into his marvelous light. And Samuel himself says, I'm worried that I'm getting killed by Saul, but I'm appointed into something greater. The writer said, he's standing over the company of prophets as appointed. You're bringing a message from Saul, but I'm appointed to proclaim a stronger message. I'm telling you, you can wait on pastor for all kinds of appointments. When is he going to appoint me behind the pulpit? When am I going to be appointed to speak? When am I going to be appointed in this message and in this area? When am I going to be appointed in this way? You can wait on different appointments. Man, I'm just waiting on my MRI appointment. I'm waiting on my psychology appointment. But I'm here to tell somebody, hallelujah. I'm giving you an appointment here today. The Word's giving you an appointment right now. Someone needs to declare, I'm appointed to give thanks and to praise the Lord. I'm not looking for a greater appointment. I'm not looking to be elevated in anything greater. You don't need to call me prophet. You don't need to call me this or that. Just know that I'm appointed every service. Hallelujah. I'm here to give thanks. I'm here to praise the Lord. I'm here to give thanks. Oh, praise God. Yes. Hallelujah. I am appointed to run these aisles. Hallelujah. I am appointed. My jurisdiction is right up in that liar's face today. Amen. Where I'm telling Satan, I don't care what message you have for me right now. I've already received a greater message. I already received a greater appointment. Hallelujah. I will praise the Lord. Praise God. And I love Brother Thomas. Amen. As we read in our text, four different companies come. The fourth being Saul and his servants come. Amen. That lets me know, and I appreciate the first time they come, they find them praising God. And then the second time they come, I don't know how long it was between these companies coming. I don't know how long it was between these messengers coming. But some folks, the first group come and they find them prophesying. And the next group come, you come a week later, a month later, and we're dead again. Come a week later and we're dormant. Come a week later and we're complacent. Come a month later and we don't care about the excitement of camp meeting. We're not excited anymore, but oh, praise God. That's not the case with those that are appointed to prophesy. That's not the case of those that are appointed. Hallelujah. The first group finds them prophesying and worshiping God. The second group comes. I don't know how much longer they were, but they find the same thing. They're still prophesying. They're still worshiping God. And the third group, still prophesying. Psalm 84 and verse 4 says, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Amen. That they will be still praising thee can give a connotation. You feel like they're still in praising the Lord. They're not getting excited. It's that holy reverence that is there. But that's not what that word means, that verbiage means at all. It means to make, to shine, to boast, to celebrate in a clamorous fashion. That means you're not afraid to look stupid. That means you're not afraid to get loud. It's a willingness to look foolish. Halabosoto. I went through cancer, but I'd be still praising him. I suffered a heart attack, but I'd be still praising him. I've lost my parent, but I'd be still praising him. Both airbags were deployed, but I'd be still praising him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You begin to change the climate. You begin to change the land. You begin to change the place. Hallelujah. When you declare, I don't care how many messengers, I don't care how many enemies want to come against me, you're going to find me still praising. You're going to find me still dancing. You're going to find me still running the aisles. You're going to find me still believing in the prophecy of God. I'm still here to give thanks. I'm still here to praise God. Hapayake abayata. When the enemy boasts, you can run, but you can't hide. The praisers stand, step up and say, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. We're coming to a close right now. But just for a little while, let me tell you, and you can remain standing. Those of you that have come up by faith, go ahead and stay up here. I just want to tell you some things that the prophecy did, what the greater message did, when these folks continued to praise God, when these folks continued to proclaim the word of God. Number one, it stripped the enemy. Saul couldn't keep his robes of royalty on. No king of the world has any power in his presence. Those robes showed his authority. And Saul said, I cannot hold this authority in the midst of this praising, in the midst of this prophecy, in the midst of so great a power. I have no authority here. I have been stripped. And the enemy that has kept you addicted, the enemy that has kept bringing that message to bring you down, that enemy that says you're going to be needing anxiety pills, the enemy that says you've got to keep that weed, the enemy that says you've got to keep that alcohol, in the presence of the prophetic, in the presence of the Spirit, get stripped. And Satan no longer has any authority. I feel like some people are making their appointment today. Some people have decided, I've been given a prophetic appointment. I've been separated into the prophetic. And the prophetic says, I just got to give thanks and I've got to praise God. Number two, the prophetic message proclaimed the word supreme and God's will supreme over any enemy. Hallelujah. What they were doing is proclaiming what God is going to do. And I believe in this prophecy, Brother Mike, they were telling about a house of David. He's just a fellow that has to flee right now, but we're here to tell you that he's going to have a kingdom. Amen. David's going to be king. And that's what they're proclaiming. And that message overruled any message of Saul's minions. Hallelujah. And these signs shall follow them that believe. I believe that's a word that overrides any message the enemy's giving you right now. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. They shall lay hands on the sick. Hallelujah. Praise God. We don't follow signs. Signs follow us. Hallelujah. Why? Because we begin in the prophetic. We begin giving praise. And it confirmed what the enemy already knew. Saul already knew his kingdom had been given to another. And when Satan comes against you, Brother Greg, starts whispering in your ear, telling you all the things that you're not, and telling you all the things that aren't true of God, he already knows his end. He already knows he's lost the victory. He already knows he's lost the battle. And the word of God is confirming what he already knows. Just keep speaking that word to the enemy. Amen. It was an experience. Amen. Did somebody have an experience in this place? Christianity, amen, is not a philosophy. It's not a doctrine. Praise God. But Joe, Christianity is an experience. This was an experience for every individual to have. The first group went out, Brother Rick, and they said, it's not going to happen to us. And they got blindsided by the Spirit. The second group went out and said, it's not going to happen to us. And boom, they found out that the Spirit of God was for them too. Next group went out. Amen. Maybe it was the worst of Saul's men, the most evil, hallelujah, the ones that were so deranged, the ones that were so sinful. He sends them out. Surely God can't move on them. Surely God can't touch them. These are my worst soldiers. They're so stuck in PTSD. They're so harmed. They're so hurt. And they arrive in the presence of God and find out that their past didn't matter. The experience was for them too. Hallelujah. The experience was available for them. Jesus said in John 3:8, amen, the wind bloweth where it listeth. You hear its sound and you don't know where it's coming or where it's going. And he says, so is everyone that's born of the Spirit. What that lets me know is that this Spirit speaking in other tongues, the Holy Ghost and filling, is for everybody. And just like they're speaking in the prophetic in this chapter, that's what you do when you get into tongues. 1 Corinthians 12:3, Paul is teaching. And he says, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. But no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. What I can't say in myself, Brother Thomas, the Spirit says for me. When I'm willing to yield unto God, amen. When I'm willing to let my praise go, hallelujah, I begin to speak in other tongues. And that's the experience for me. And this is my favorite. It was for everybody. Hallelujah. The first group, the second group, the third group. This is my favorite part. It changes the land. It changes the land. Watch when Saul starts coming. Scripture says Saul went thither. Everybody say thither. It's good to drop a thither every once in a while. Amen. He went thither to Naioth and Ramah. And the Spirit of God was upon him also. Did you catch that? He's on his way to Naioth. That's where everybody else got touched. Cheston, he hasn't made it there yet. He's still on his way, and the Spirit of God gets upon him. He didn't even reach the location yet. Oh, I'm talking to somebody here. Hey, man, you begin to speak in the prophetic. You begin to praise and give glory unto God, and people just start to feel it in this area. Hey, man, I haven't even made it to the altar call yet. I just walked into these doors. Come on, boys, hang on for just a little bit longer. Hallelujah. I'm a rainforest preacher. I'm missing a whole lot of moisture right now. Praise God. I just drove by your church and something started to speak to me. It told me you got to pull into that parking lot. It told me you got to make it to that service. Because some prophetic worship has gone forth. Some prophetic praise has gone forth. Some giving thanks has gone forth. Amen. And it's begun to change the land. The land just isn't the same anymore. Hallelujah. I can't go very far without feeling the touch of God. I can't go very far without feeling I need to give myself to God. The first song starts, amen, and a guest says, hallelujah, I feel like my burdens have rolled away. I feel like the presence of God is here so strongly. I feel like there's something, amen, that has stripped my enemy. I feel like my weights have fallen off. Because somebody is willing to get into the prophetic. Hallelujah. And it says he went on. Amen. I'm here to tell somebody that the prophetic. And let's all stand. Come on forward, everybody. Hallelujah. The prophetic will keep you going on. Praise God. Brother Gary Gregg, the prophetic will keep you going. The Spirit will keep you going through the darkest winter hours. The Spirit will keep you going through the worst seasons. Hey, man, the Spirit will change your land, and it will keep you going. Hallelujah. Come on, everybody coming forward. Everybody saying, I want this experience. Everybody understanding it's a taste and see scenario. Taste and see that the Lord, He is good. Come Hallelujah.